In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm a bit suspect of modern technology. I worry about what impact it has on us. All that screen time, all that information constantly bombarding us. But for all my concern, I use it every day and every night. It is part of my routine and habits. For the most part, I hardly even notice it anymore. However, there are moments when technology can be a powerful and astonishing thing. This past Friday, I had such a moment. As I so often do, I downloaded onto my phone the morning news podcast from NPR. I set out at 6 a.m. in the early morning twilight to walk the dog. Never really consider how amazing it is that news from around the country and from around the world is being piped into my ears with the ease of the touch of a button. I don't often think about how connected we all are in these modern times, how our lives are touched and affected by people we will never see or meet. This morning was a little different. Given the events of Wednesday in Florida, I was prepared for the bulk of the news to be about that horrendous event. I was already mentally bracing myself for the all too familiar and all too common news of another senseless and preventable mass shooting. But listening, I heard the most unexpected and extraordinary thing. A student at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School named David was interviewing a fellow student that morning. When the shooting started, he was herded into a culinary classroom. He was hiding in a closet with some fellow classmates. This student journalist pulled out his phone and started filming. He asked the girl, "So what's your message?" She responded, "I really don't think there is anything you need to say, but there shouldn't have to be. Because if you looked around this closet and saw everyone hiding together, you would know that this shouldn't be happening anymore." Then he turned to another classmate. She began to talk about her own life with guns, how she was a junior NRA member, about how she learned to hunt and just her general fascination with guns. She then said how this event had radically changed her entire outlook on the issue. Before this event was even over, these students were talking about gun violence in these broader terms. These students, these children who were in the center of a mass shooting, who were forced to take shelter for fear of being shot, they were able to talk in broad terms about the nature and problem of gun violence. They were able to have a calm, civil, rational talk about this evil that plagues us. And this was what was at once so profound and disturbing about that recording. They were calmer, more civil, and more rational than most of the adults I have heard talk about this issue. They were shamefully more calm than any conversation I myself have had about this issue. It was uplifting to hear someone talk about this problem in a meaningful way. And terrifying that it was children. Children who were the targets of gun violence in the very heart of this evil, violent act, in danger for their very lives in that moment, being able to do something that I myself and the rest of the adults who are charged with protecting them seem incapable of doing. I honestly do not know what the answer is. I do not know if anyone does yet. But I do believe there is one. I do believe that we do not have to live in a society where acts of evil can be so easily carried out and with such efficient ruthlessness. I do not believe that this has to be what we take as normal, as common, and as God save us, as ordinary. Because that is what these horrifying acts have become. Schools routinely carry out active shooter drills. Along with fire drills, the children of our nation on a regular basis practice what to do if a shooter armed with an assault rifle enters the building. We prepare them for it as if it was a natural event, a force of nature that cannot be prevented, but only responded to after the fact. If we approach this only as a political issue, as a right versus left issue, then nothing will change. But if we start with the question of what kind of world do I want to live in? What kind of world do I want our children to live in? What kind of world is God calling us all to? Then maybe we can start to talk to one another instead of shouting. Maybe we can agree that there are sensible things that can and must be done. Right now, both sides believe that they have everything to gain and everything to lose. And this has left us paralyzed, unable to do a single thing while the bodies of our children continue to pile up. Lent is a time when we remember the temptation that Jesus endured in the wilderness, how his body, his mind, his soul were put through suffering. We remember that we too face temptations, sins we must confront and fight with every fiber of our being. The temptation of lusting after worldly possessions and material greed, the temptation to fear those who are different and to hate those who we differ with. Right now in our time, we as a nation, as a people, face shared sins. The sin of acceptance, the sin of resignation, the temptation to witness yet again another mass shooting, yet again children being slaughtered in their schools. We face the temptation, the sin, to say that nothing can be done, nothing can stop it, nothing can change. We are in the wilderness, a wilderness of our own making and our own design. Human beings visiting human evil with human tools on fellow human beings. I do not believe Jesus will abandon us to this wilderness. He will, if we call on him, and if we have the courage to follow, lead us out of it. But this will take all of us willing to compromise, willing to work with those we disagree with, willing to put the souls of our children as the first priority in doing what we must do. Until that time, when we can all humble ourselves before the Lord and humble ourselves to one another, we will wander this wilderness. It has become far too easy to let these events fade into our memory, to push them aside and move on to the next thing that catches our collective attention. There is a temptation to treat these deaths as just another statistic, to lump them in with the ever-growing number of senseless and preventable mass shootings. There is a temptation to forget that they were children of God with names. Alisa Adelheff, 14. Scott Beagle, 35. Martin Angiano, 14. Nicholas Dewart, 17. Aaron Fees, 37. Jamie Gutenberg, 14. Chris Hickson, 49. Luke Hoyer, 15. Kara Loughran, 14. Gianna Montalato, 14. Joaquin Oliver, 17. Elena Petty, 14. Meadow Pollock, 18. Helena Ramsey, 17. Alex Schachter, 14. Carmen Shentrup, 16. Peter Wang, 15. God above, take into your loving embrace these souls. Grant them your everlasting peace and salvation. God above, look down on us in mercy. Heal the wounded. Comfort the grieving. God above, move the hearts of the people of this nation. Give us the humility and the courage to work together so that we may protect the innocent. Amen.